Okay, we're in the very beginning of Maseches Megillah. This is our second shiur on the Masechta. Last week we had somewhat of an introductory shiur, so now let's pick up where we left off, and let's move a little bit forward. Last week we spoke a little bit about the fact that when it comes to celebrating Purim, there is a discrepancy as to when Purim should be celebrated. So it depends where a person lives. And the Mishnah that we're about to read mentions that we have Purim of Prazim and Purim of Mukafin. What exactly does that mean? So any city that is a non-walled city, which we refer to as Prazim, all of those celebrate Purim on Yud Dalet Adar. Any city that does have a wall, Mimos Yeshua Ben Nun, the halacha is that they celebrate Purim on Tesvav Adar. Now that doesn't mean if they have a walled city specifically in Eretz Yisrael. The example we gave last week was Yerushalayim. That's just a prime example that we all are familiar with. But even if it's a walled city somewhere else in the world, since it's similar to the way that Shushan Abira was structured, therefore we assume Purim is celebrated on a different day than it is in a different location. We mentioned last week that Ayaris Hasmuchos, any city that is close to the city that is a walled city, is also considered to be part of that equation as well. And then we talked about the fact that even though we have this discrepancy between the Ayaros Hamukafas Choma and the cities that are not Mukaf Choma, we mentioned that although that's true, the Mishnah is going to tell us a Chiddush, that the Kfarim, which means the smaller little towns, little shtetlach outside of the big cities, since over there Rashi understands nobody really knows how to read the Megillah on their own. Most people are illiterate. Most people wouldn't know how to have a Purim celebration by themselves. Therefore, we allow them to celebrate along with the bigger cities. So you would say they should celebrate on the same day. But because we don't want to have to make them schlep in on an extra day in the week in order to celebrate Purim, therefore we say, well, every Monday and Thursday they come to the big cities anyway for all the shopping and for all the malls, and therefore because of that we assume that they have a right to make Purim a little bit earlier than Yud Dalet or earlier than Tesvav. So that's something that we're going to see in our Mishnah in great detail. One very important halacha that comes out of this Mishnah that I think is fascinating, we will see this evening, is something that is relevant to halacha lemaisa, and as you see, it is an extremely complicated issue, but it is a fascinating one nonetheless. So let's begin with the very first Mishnah in Maseches Megillah, and then we will pick up with this very important issue that stems very much from this Mishnah, even though it is an unlikely place where it should be learned from. So we begin. Megillah Nikres B'Yud Aleph, B'Yud Beis, B'Yud Gimel, B'Yud Dalet B'Tesvav. The Megillah has the ability to be read in certain years and certain circumstances, sometimes on the 11th of Adar, sometimes on the 12th, sometimes on the 13th, sometimes on the 14th, and sometimes on the 15th. So the Mishnah is now going to say, how can that be? How are you able to configure a way in which the Megillah can be read on any of those days? How do you figure that out? So we'll see in the Mishnah as we go further. Lo pachos velo yoser. However, says the Mishnah, although you can have a range of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tesvav, 5 days, it says that it cannot be before Yud Aleph and it cannot be after Tesvav. Did we just choose these numbers arbitrarily? Where does that come from? So let's see. Krochin hamukafin choma mimos Yeshua ben Nun. So the first rule that the Mishnah teaches us is what we mentioned last week. Any city that is walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, Korim ben Tezvav, they read the Megillah on the 15th. Kfarim v'ayaros gedolos, any city that is a big city but they do not have a wall around them, Korim ben Yudalid, they read on the 14th of the month. Elosha kvarim makdimin liyom haknisa. Says the Mishnah, if you have a small shtetl, a small city outside of the big city, because the way Rashi explains, nobody there knows how to read the Megillah on their own, we're going to give them a special dispensation. So therefore, even though most of the cities read on the 14th, you have the ability to push it up and to bring in the celebration of Purim earlier because you have to go to the Kfarim in order to be able to perform your mitzvah. And the days that were normally designated for you to visit the Kfarim were Monday and Thursday. So that's what we do. Says the Mishnah further. Ketzad, so how do we configure all these 5 days? How do we figure out when, in which year you're going to lay on this day and in which year you're going to lay on the other day? Chalios Yud Dalet B'Sheni, let's say you have the 14th of Adar, falls out on a Monday. Kfarim V'Ayaros Gedolos, then all the big cities that don't have walls around them and all the little cities as well are all going to be uniform. They are all Korim Bo V'Yom. They all lay on that day. U'mukafos Chama L'Machar. And all the cities that have walls around them will lane on the 15th. Chalios b'shlishi obravi. Let's say Purim falls out, Yud Dalet falls out on Tuesday or Wednesday. So what's the problem? So in the big cities, they're going to lay in on Tuesday or Wednesday. In the cities that have walls around them, they're going to lay in on Wednesday or Thursday. However, the problem is, for the small cities that don't really know how to lay in on their own, we're going to allow them to make it earlier. So we're going to allow them to lay in the Megillah on Monday. Right? Because Monday they come to the big city anyway, so we're going to let them take care of it then. Kfar Makdim and the Yom HaKnisa. The small cities will bump it up to laying the Megillah on Monday, because that's when they come to the big city anyway. Va'ayaros Gedolos Karim Babayom. The big cities will lay in on the regular day, either Tuesday or Wednesday. Umukafos Chama, those cities that have a wall around them, will lay in on the 15th. Now, says the Mishnah further, so the Mishnah goes through all the different configurations. Now, one very important issue that Rashi raises here is, so what happens? You have a whole community of people who live in these small little cities, small little shtetlach. Nobody there knows how to lay in the Megillah. So we allow them to come either on a Monday or a Thursday, however it works out in the calendar, and we're going to let them come and read the Megillah on the Monday or Thursday. But you're telling me that they're illiterate. So who's reading for them? Who's going to read the Megillah for them? Obviously, somebody from a different city. But that person from a different city is not mechuyev to lay in the Megillah today. So Rashi says, Rashi just makes a very innocent comment. Let's see the Rashi on the third of the wide lines on the top. Ela shahakfar makdim in the Yom HaKnisa. Kilomar. Me'achar shamu kafen kor mitazvav. The walled cities are going to lay in the Megillah on the 15th of the month. V'she'ein mukafen korim biyadalid. And the cities that don't have a wall around are going to lay in on the 14th. Harei hakol b'chlal. Su'heichim eshkachas yudalif yudbezu gimel. How do you figure out, asked the Mishnah, when do you lay in on the 11th, 12th, or 13th? So you have to do the math and you figure out when do we have that configuration. Says Rashi, Ela shahakvarim nasnu lehem chachamim rishus. The story in our Mishnah is that although we normally only have 2 days of Purim, either you're a walled city or you're not, that's generally the case. But if you're a small city that's also non-walled, then we're also going to have a third Purim for you. Says Rashi, the Chachamim gave a special dispensation, lahakdim kriyasa liyom haknisa yom sheni b'shabbos shalefnei yudalid o chamishi b'shabbos hu yom haknisa shakfarim miskansim la'ayaros la'mishpat. It happened to be, the practice always was that every Monday and Thursday everybody would come to the big city to take care of whatever they had to do. And therefore, we're going to allow those small neighboring towns to lay in either on a Monday or a Thursday closest to Purim. V'hakfarim einem v'kiyim, says Rashi. And the people who lived in these small cities didn't know how to read. And obviously, since they are illiterate, they need somebody from the city to come and lay it for them. Okay, so now Rashi goes on to figure out what's the story in our Mishnah. But Rashi there makes an innocent comment. What's the comment? That here you have a city that has a special dispensation to lay in the Megillah earlier, let's say on the 11th of the month or the 12th, and now you have people who are coming here but they don't know how to lay. So you're going to have someone else laying for them. But the someone else is not mechuyev to laying today. Does that really work? This is a major problem. So it's a major problem because we begin the sugya in Meseches Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara Meseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavtes tells us the very famous halacha. Kol she'eino mechuyev b'dabar, eino motzi acher miyadei chovasam. Says the Gemara. Anyone who doesn't have an obligation to perform a particular mitzvah does not have the ability to be motzi someone else. So let's take a very obvious example. You have a non-Jew. Non-Jew could be your best friend. A non-Jew could be a wonderful person who's very respectful of the religion. A non-Jew could be a person who understands Hebrew very well and reads Hebrew very well. So let's say, one Shabbos morning, we don't have a Baal Kori, and we happen to have a non-Jew who's been the Shabbos guy in the shul for the last 20 years, and he knows how to lay in the Parsha by heart. He knows it very well. Whatever. Let's say he knows such a thing. So he gets up and he says, what a bizayon. Nobody knows how to lay in from the Sefer Torah. I'll be the one to lay in from the Sefer Torah. Does that work? Can we fulfill our obligation? Obviously not. Why? Says the Gemara, Kol she'eino mechuyev b'davar, if you're not obligated to do the mitzvah, eino motzi acher midei chovasam, you cannot be the one to perform the mitzvah on my behalf either. And this is a general principle. So, based on that principle, we assume that it works on the flip side. If you are a mechuyev b'davar, if you do share the obligation, then obviously you would be able to perform the mitzvah on someone else's behalf. So therefore, when we come Purim night and we all have to lay in the Megillah, we don't all have to lay in the Megillah by ourselves. All you need is one person who's obligated to lay in the Megillah. He can do it on behalf of all of us, and that would be sufficient. That would be good enough. When we come to Rosh Hashanah, does everybody have to blow their own shofar? Of course not. As long as you are a mechuyev bedavar, as long as you are someone who's obligated to perform the mitzvah, you can go ahead and perform it on behalf of other people as well. That's okay. What if somebody, let's say, is a shote? Let's say you have somebody who's not mechuyev b'mitzvos. He's a total shote, doesn't have an understanding at all, but he knows how to blow shofar very nicely. He trained himself to blow the shofar. Let's say I have young children. I don't call them shotim, but they're not mechuyev b'davar. They're not really obligated in the mitzvah. So the teachers taught them how to blow the shofar, and they're blowing away in our basement. So let's say they come on Rosh Hashanah. Would that be sufficient for me to fulfill my obligation on Rosh Hashanah? Of course not. Why? Because he's not a mechuyev b'davar. If he's a katan, or he's a cheresh, or a shote, or a non-Jew, certainly you wouldn't have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah through their performance. Oh, one second. Oh, we didn't get there yet. So I'm just, let's first build up the question, and then we'll see whether or not this is different. We have to argue out the merits of the case. So that's the general halacha. The halacha is that if you're a mechuyev b'davar, you can do it for someone else. If you're not a mechuyev b'davar, you cannot. Now, says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah also, what about the following case? What if you're a mechuyev but not a mechuyev? Meaning, I'm mechuyev on Rosh Hashanah to blow the shofar, but I already blew the shofar. I daven at the hashgama. Now, the later minyan needs somebody to blow the shofar, so I'm not really a mechuyev b'davar anymore. I finished my mitzvah. So what's the halacha then? So we have another concept. Says the Gemara, the concept is, afal pi sheyatza motzi, even though I already performed the mitzvah on my own, and I no longer really have an obligation, so you should say, I'm out of the picture. Now I'm like a nachri, I did the mitzvah already. And you should say, I'm like a shote, I'm not mechuyev to do it anymore. I blew the shofar, there's no mitzvah to blow shofar five times a day. Says the Gemara, no. We have a concept, yatza motzi, which means, if there's somebody else that hasn't yet fulfilled their mitzvah, we still consider you to be a little bit mechuyev b'davar. Rashi explains, we have a din of arvus, which means, if I have a fellow Jew who has not performed his mitzvah and he has an obligation to do so and I can help him to do it, it means I have not completely fulfilled my own mitzvah yet. And therefore the Gemara assumes that afal pi sheyatza, even though I already performed my mitzvah and I should have been out of the picture now for somebody else because I'm no longer technically a mechuyev b'davar, the Gemara says we have a concept that I still have the ability to be motzi somebody else in the mitzvah. So, that's in a regular case, shofar, tzitzis, lulav, everything else that we do. Now, what if we change the scenario slightly? I happen to love the 8-volume set of Svarim that Rav Amar put out called Shama Shlomo. I'm a big fan of Rav Amar in general. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham and a very special prince of a man. And Rav Amar has unbelievable tshuva Svarim. They're beautifully written. They're very lamdish tshuvas. Sometimes people don't appreciate tshuvas that are written by Svardi Rabbanim because they're a very different style. Rav Avadia Yosef, either you like it or you don't. Some people love it, some people don't. It's a very different style. Rav Amar's tshuvas are very lumdish, and they're very classical style tshuvas, but at the same time he has a tremendous bekias. His tshuvas svarim are really beautiful. So a number of years ago I brought him in to the White Shul for a Shabbos, and him and my father both, they're very close friends, so him and my father both shared the platform together in the White Shul over Shabbos. They both gave shiurim the whole Shabbos. It was very nice to have them both together. And the shiur that Rav Amar gave was about this question. What was the question? So he spoke about the following. I found subsequently that in about 3 or 4 of his different tshuvas for him, he has different applications of the question. They're all fascinating, but I guess it's a topic that he likes to talk and write about. So let's see what he says. He writes in the first entry here, She'ela. So here's the question. Ha'im yachol ben Eretz Yisrael lekadesh b'yam tefsheni? Again, we have Yom Tov Sheni that only the Bnei Chutz La'aretz keep, obviously. You have a Ben Eretz Yisrael is visiting. He has somebody in the hospital. He comes to America for Yom Tov. He's unfortunately stuck here in the country. He doesn't have the ability to be at home, so he obviously doesn't have to keep Yom Tov Sheni. He's not obligated. He's not allowed to do Malacha, but he's not mechuyev to do any observance of Yom Tov Sheni. And the question is, here he is, Nebuch, he's stuck in Schechter's house. Schechter doesn't know how to make Kiddush. He's in Am Haaretz from America. And the question is, can the Israeli who knows how to read Hebrew recite Kiddush for me? Well, he's not a mechuyev b'davar, because he lives in Eretz Yisrael, but I am a mechuyev b'davar. So he writes tshuva. La'anias daiti, this tshuva is a long tshuva, but I just took out the important parts that are relevant to us. La'anias daiti yesh ledamos azeh. Maybe we can make this as a comparison. We can draw a comparison. So let's say you have somebody who forgets to count Svira one night. The Prichadish talks about the case. It was later on reinvented by the Beis HaLevi, and now became famous in the name of the Beis HaLevi, but it was way before the Beis HaLevi. The Prichadish and the Sardar Shulchan Aruch talks about the story. So what happened? You have somebody who forgets to count Svira. It happens every so often. Person misses Meirav one night, they didn't daven in Shul, they forgot about it, now you're out. Right? So what does it mean you're out? You can't count with a bracha any longer. That's the psak that we follow, that Ashkenazim follow, that once you miss one day, say so you're out. So now the question is, I missed the sphere one day, so I have a good idea. I don't want to be out. I want to continue to be a part of the mitzvah sphere, so I want to be able to count every night. So what can I do? Maybe I can ask my friend that he shouldn't make the bracha every night, even though he is b'chuyiv, and I'll make it for him, and he'll just answer amen. It's a good idea. Don't we have a principle, yatza motzi? If I already perform the mitzvah of Sviras Omer and somebody else hasn't, I'm allowed to make the bracha for them. If I already blew shofar and someone else hasn't blown the shofar, I'm allowed to blow the shofar for them. So maybe this should be a great idea. Come Sviras Omer, I haven't yet counted because I can't really count, but here's a great way around the problem. Instead of counting the rest of the nights without a bracha, why don't I become the chazan every night of Svira, and I'll be the one to count Svira for the whole congregation, and then we say that I'm saying on behalf of everybody else. Or maybe you should argue, what do you mean? You're not a mechuyev bedavar, you're out. So what would you call me? Am I like a nachri? So if a nachri would get up and read, transliterate, Sher Kedushanim Tosot Tzivanu Al Sviras Omer, would it work for you? Of course not. He's not a mechuyev bedavar, he's out of the parsha. If a shoter or katam would do it for you, obviously it doesn't work. So how would you categorize somebody who's out of Sviras Omer? Do you say he's ain't a mechuyev bedavar, he's out of the parsha, he's out of the ballpark? Or do you say, no, he's a mechuyev bedavar, just technically this year he's got a problem. Technically this year he's not able to count because he forgot one night and now he's out. But he's still called a mechuyev bedavar. So that's a question that Pri Chadash raises. Let's see. Right, so the question is, can he recite the bracha for somebody else? He's not out completely. It's not really true, because we just adopt a compromise opinion. The Rishonim that say you're out, say you're out. The Rishonim that say you're in, say you should be in with a bracha. So we say we're going to adopt the middle opinion and say, don't make a bracha levatela, but you should count Svira to satisfy both opinions. But really, there's no two ways about it. You should either be out legamri and you shouldn't count at all, or you should be in legamri and you should be counting with a bracha. So that's the shaila. So that's what he writes over here. Sheharichu bazeh poskim. The poskim have a long discussion about this. The Pri Chadash, the other Acharonim also. Al Dayan Echad, there was a rav in a community. Shehora the Misha Shachach Laila Achas. He gave a psak for somebody who forgot one night of Svira. The guy didn't want to continue to count without a bracha. Shesofer b'li bracha. Sheyarva lefnei ateva. You should become the chazan every night of Svira. And now you'll be able to get around the problem. No issue at all. So in Kibin Yafad Alo. So the Pri Chadash wonders, does that really make sense? Does that help? After all, maybe you're not able to be motzi acher midei chavasim because you're not a mechuyev bedavar. Vishuv kasav, and the Pri Chadash writes in the end of the lengthy discussion there, tishagag hadayin ahu ba'arazu, that this is a tremendous mistake. That doesn't work. If you're out of the count of Sviras Omer, then you're not a mechuyev bedavar, which means you can't do it for somebody else either. You're like a nachri. You're like a shota. You're like a cheresh this year. I'm sorry, you're not able to be a participant in the mitzvah. And we paskin halacha lemaisa. The kol shelo mana laila achas. Anyone who forgot to count one night, shuv ena mevarich. You're not able to continue to count at all. You're considered to be out for the year. V'im kein who ena mechuyev ba ve'enu yachal lahotzi achem midei chavasam. V'im birech. And if you do go ahead and serve as the chazan that night, and you do go ahead and make the bracha, havi bracha lebatala. So that's the Pri Chadash argues, you're an Einam Mechuyev Bedavar. So he says, maybe we should say, it's the same over here. What was our case? We have a Ben Eretz Yisrael who's stuck in America for Yom Tov Sheni. And now he comes to Shechter's house, Yom Tov Sheni night. Shechter doesn't know how to say Kiddush. He knows how to say Kiddush very well because he knows how to read Hebrew. So maybe he can be the one to be Mekadish on behalf of my family. Or should you say, what do you mean? He's an Einam Mechuyev Bedavar. So maybe he writes, maybe this should be comparable to the person who was Mechuyev in Sviras Omer, but now he's out. So what would you say? Is that the same? Is it not the same?
Because
there's a Chiyuv in the case of Sviras Omer, you just can't act on. Oh, so you say, in Sviras Omer, really, I am a Mechuyev Bedavar, just something technically is in the way. Over here, you're saying, I'm ain't a Mechuyev Bedavar, I never even started. Meaning I don't, but I could be Mechayev myself, if I would be a Yored, if I would stop living in Eretz Yisrael, maybe I would be a Mechuyev Bedavar. Meaning, so is that the same as a Nachri? Do you say, if a Nachri would be Megayer, he would also be Mechuyev? Come on, how far are we going to take it? So that's the question. How do we put all these cases together? Look a little further. Then Lomar, he says, and don't argue, Dimikol Malkam Mikri Mechuyev Bedavar. Don't say, come on, what do you mean? He is a Mechuyev Bedavar. Why is he Mechuyev Bedavar? Harei Garcina B'Yerushalmi, we have in the Yerushalmi, in our Yerushalmi Megillah, not like Rashi. Rashi on our daf that we started with. Again, where do we get into this discussion? Rashi writes in our daf, when you have the people from the small cities coming to the big cities to lay in the Megillah on Yud Aleph or Yud Beis, you can have a member of the big city laid on their behalf. What do you mean? There ain't a mechuyav b'davar. How come Rashi just innocently makes that comment? How does that work? So he writes, the Yerushalmi explicitly says that that doesn't work. Deben ir eino motzi ben krach, lefisha eino mechuyav. If you're supposed to read the Megillah on the 14th, and you were called upon to read the Megillah for somebody who keeps it on the 15th, it doesn't work. Why? Because your day to lay in the Megillah is on the 14th, and his day to lay in the Megillah is on the 15th. Afagav di yahavi bari lemekar di raso leil tesvav. I can very easily change my chiv, change my status by moving to Tel Aviv, by moving to Yerushalayim. I could just move back and forth, and then I have an obligation either this way or the other way. And yet, the Yerushalmi writes, you're called an Eina Mechuyav B'davar. So what are you telling me here? You have a Ben Eretz Yisrael. So he has the ability to come be a Yored. He has the ability, if he wants, to move to Chutz La'aretz. So therefore, what are you going to say? Now he's officially, technically, a Mechuyav B'davar? What do you mean? It's much easier to move from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim in one night, and still the Yerushalmi assumes, you cannot assume that before you've moved, you're called a Mechuyav B'davar. Because you're not. Wherever you were on Leil Yudal is where you're going to be Kovei or Yom Tov HaPurim. Right, interesting observation. So he writes here, the kol shekein l'nidu dindyan de lav bar chiyuvah klal. Certainly, by the person of Yom Tov Sheni in Eretz Yisrael, you cannot consider yourself a mechuyav b'davar at all. The al kain ein lo takana ela sheyomer lechaveru sheyachavin lehotziyah b'berchaso. He says, going back to the example of the pri chadash by Svir Saomer, that would not work. You would not be able to be the chazan and serve as the one to make the bracha on behalf of everyone else. Ulufi maskanas ha pri chadash ole. So I skipped again a long part of the tshuva, but he says, according to the maskan of the prichadosh, it comes out, tibemakom she'eno chayiv levarich, o she'eno chayiv b'mitzvah ahi, kimo she'eno rashoi levarich la'atzmo, kach eno rashoi levarich b'shvil lahotzi chaveiro. You wouldn't be able to be motzi somebody else, by Sviros HaOmer, or by Yom Tov Sheni, or by anything else. Go to the next paragraph. Uvi Yosi Bazel. While I was dealing with this issue, Hey, Runius Dibri Achida B'chaim Sha'ol. So the Chida writes the following in his Tshuva Sefer. Shenishal B'ben Eretz Yisrael Ha'omed B'chutz La'aretz B'Yom Tov Sheni Ha'samach L'Shabbos. So what happens? 3-day Yom Tov. So everybody has so much on their minds. Somebody forgot to make an Erev Tavshilim. Great idea. We have a Ben Eretz Yisrael who's staying in my house for Yom Tov. So why can't he make the Erev Tavshilim for me? Great idea, isn't it? It's not a malacha for him. It's not a problem for him. What's the issue? Let him make an Erev Tavshilin for me on Yom Tov Sheni, and maybe that will count for my family to be allowed to cook. So writes the Chida, does that work? What do you mean? He's not mechuyev in an Erev Tavshilin. So how does that work? Im yachal lasos Erev Tavshilin letzarech balabais, umasik, and the Chida comes to the conclusion, delo matzi yavah, that doesn't work. What do you mean? He's not a mechuyev b'davar. He proves it from the Yerushalmi in our Masechta that you're not able to be motzi somebody else who has a chiv of Mikra Megillah on a different day than you do. Maskana de Milsa, the bottom line is, Ein ben Eretz Yisrael yachal kadosh b'yam tov sheni kidei lahotzi as ben chutz la'aretz. You would not be able to have a ben Eretz Yisrael be motzi acherim who are from chutz la'aretz. He has in another tshuva in a different chelek, in chelek dalet, chelek hei, a discussion that he said was raised in Yerushalayim that they had a chutz la'aretz minyan on Yom Tov Sheni, which is a big question in and of itself. Is it right? Should we really be having these minyanim? Should we not? But let's say you have a minyan in the hotel, and it turns out nobody prepared the laning. Happens to be a mashgiach who's a ben Eretz Yisrael, and a lot of bnei Eretz Yisrael know all the lanings. So he shows up to the minyan and he says, "Oh, you guys need a balkori." So he goes up on Yom Tov Sheni and he says, "I'll be happy to be a balkori." And then everybody said, "Hey, you're not really mechuyev in Kriyas HaTorah today. Today happens to be just a regular day of the week. And we're laning because for us it's Yom Tov. For you it's just a regular day of Chol HaMoed." So is he able to be the one who's designated as the Baal Kori on a day when he's really not mechuyev, but everybody else in the room is mechuyev? Do you call him an Eino mechuyev bedavar and therefore Eino yachal lehotzi achem b'dei chavasam? So he gets in this whole discussion once again. And then what he spoke about in the White Shul a number of years ago was, he said there was a Rav who was considered a very distinguished guest, and there was a new shchuna that was built in Eretz Yisrael somewhere. So they wanted to, I don't know what you call it, they wanted to be mechanech the shchuna. They wanted to have like a Chanukas Abayis, so they had a Chanukas Abayis Knesses and shchuna, whatever. They had a big celebration to offset this new community that was just getting started. One of the first things that they wanted to do was make an Erev Chatzeres. So how do you make an Erev Chatzeres? You take a bak matzos and you're mezaket on behalf of everybody in the city, and you make a kinyan, and you make a bracha when you make the Erev Chatzeres. So the question was, they invited this very distinguished guest, let's say the Rav Rashi, and he comes to the town, and they say, because we're having this Chanukah Hashchuna, we want you to be the one to make the Erev Chatzeres and to make the bracha on behalf of the community. Problem is, he doesn't live there. So he's not mechuyev to make the Erev Chatzeres. I don't live here. What does that have to do with me? But on the other hand, maybe I'm just making it on behalf of the members of the community, so maybe that should work, maybe it shouldn't work. And he gets once again into this whole discussion. It seems to be a recurrent theme in his tshuvas. He seems to like this issue a lot, and he finds every way that he can somehow fit it into a discussion. But here, I think it's very relevant, because it comes up from the Rashi in our daf, whether or not this is something that we can really do, or perhaps you have to be wary of the fact that maybe the other individual who you're designating to perform the mitzvah for you might not really be considered to be a mechuyev bedavar, and therefore he cannot perform the mitzvah on your behalf.
Maybe Rashi holds, like, hey, Momo, since they already pushed the this one to the Alki Beit Gimel, that means that the just have to hear the Megillah with the bracha, whoever makes the bracha.
So you can say, over here is an exception. Over here, the Chachamim, since they're the ones who made the whole Takana in the first place, maybe this is the way they created the Takana, that even somebody who's not a mechuyev bedavar can do it for you. Right? Yeah.
Why couldn't you essentially make that the right?
So then what?
All these things we're talking about, if you come back to the dot, you say the people in the Kraken are forced to come into the city earlier. They could have come in on Thursday also.
Right. The problem is that the Rashi is a very problematic Rashi. The Yerushalmi says Beferish Nalik Rashi. So Rashi in our daf says, well, nobody from the small cities knew how to read, and therefore they had to get someone else. What do you mean, get someone else? How does it help to get someone else?
No, but that makes sense. So in other words, that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying no one in these small towns knew how to read, so they come to the city.
Oh, the Gemara doesn't say that. Rashi interprets that the reason why they allowed them to do it earlier is because nobody knows how to read. Tosis on the next daf says that's not the reason why. Tosis says the reason why we allowed them is because they didn't have a minyan. Everybody lived on farmlands. So you have one person living here and one over there. There was no shul. There was no any way to get a minyan together. So we tell them there's going to be a minyan in the big city on Monday and Thursday. You should come to the big city and you lay Megillah there, Barav Madras Melech, wonderful. And that's the way you'll do it. But we know how to read. We know how to lay on our own. Tosa says, what is Rashi talking about? The Yerushalmi says, Beferish, this doesn't work.
Responsibility. Mm-hmm. Would that be independent of the Yotzei Matzeh, or it has to be only subsequent to being Yotzei?
I mean, there is a discussion in the Acharonim. Do we have a concept of arvus by women? So let's say a woman is not mechuyev in certain mitzvahs. So is she, part of her achrayis as a Jewish woman is, I have to make sure that everybody else performs a mitzvah. So maybe that's only the mitzvahs that I'm mechuyev to do. What about the mitzvahs that only men are mechuyev to do and I'm not? So that's a big discussion in Shulchan Aruch, not in Shulchan Aruch proper, but on the page, whether or not we should assume that women have an obligation of arvus for some mitzvah that they might not be mechuyev to do themselves. Maybe the mitzvah of arvus is independent, meaning you have an obligation to make sure everybody does the right thing. So what does it make a difference whether or not you're mechuyev to do the mitzvah? I seem to remember there's a discussion about that.
Maybe you apply that in the case of this.
That arvus is separate.
The arvus separate and the korek, then.
Could be. It's a very problematic Rashi that we need to think about. So here is a case that came up about a year and a half or 2 years ago. Somebody asked me a shaila, and I presented it to Rav Asher Weiss, and he wrote me back this letter. I don't think it was printed anywhere because it happened more recently. And again, a lot of the issue that we were dealing with was revolving around this very problematic Rashi in Yerushalmi and Ardaf. So what was the story? The story was there was a person who has an elderly parent, and this parent was in a assisted living. And unfortunately, this parent also had the onset of dementia. And the problem was that he used to go visit every day on his way home from work. But on Erev Shabbos, he also wanted to go visit. So he used to go Erev Shabbos on his way home from work and visit. But then he had to drive home for Shabbos. But he wanted someone to be able to say Kiddush for her, because she didn't know how to say Kiddush on her own. She wasn't at a state where she was able to. So the question is, am I able to say Kiddush for my elderly mother, who doesn't know how to say Kiddush on her own, bizman tosefes Shabbos, but at a time where it's not Shabbos for me. So that's similar to the question about a ben Eretz Yisrael and a ben Chutz La'aretz and about the Sfiras HaOmer and about our case, a ben Kfar and a ben Ir. Can you be motzi acher midei chavasa when you yourself are not mechuyev? So maybe here you can say, I could be mekabel Shabbos early. I have the ability to be mekabel Shabbos early. Yeah, but you need to drive home. So you can't really be mekabel Shabbos early. So is that the same as, what do you mean, you can move to Tel Aviv, you can move to Yerushalayim. So how do you look at this case, yeah?
But in this case, no one has a fear for your Kiddush. In other words, the son
why not?
Is going to make Kiddush for his mother before Shabbos starts.
But it's Bizman Tosefes Shabbos. She can be Mekabel Shabbos an hour too early. So he wants to go early because he wants to drive home and shower and get ready for Shabbos. But his mother technically could be Mekabel Shabbos already. Yeah.
So he can make the kiddush and she's yotzei, even though he's not making it for himself.
Is that true? Does that work? So Rabbi Kiva Eger on Shulchan Aruch discusses, does that actually work? Let's see. Here's the question. It's the second on the source sheet. And he writes in the second paragraph, Prar nistape kagon Rabbi Kiva Eger b'sheila zu, b'ha'agosav l'Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Kiva Eger already discusses the issue that he's not sure. How do we deal with this problem? So Rabbi Kiva Eger was just saying it in the abstract. He was saying it just theoretically. We actually had the question. We actually had the question. You have a guy who wants to go visit his mother in the assisted living facility. She doesn't know how to say Kiddush. And he wants to go ahead and recite the Kiddush for her, Bizman Tosefes Shabbos. When it's not Shabbos for him and it is Shabbos for her, does that work or not? Are you called an animal chivit davar? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger. Mistapkani, im acher shalo kibel alav Shabbos. If you have an individual who has not yet mekabel Shabbos, if he is able to be motzi lekadesh lemi shekibel alav Shabbos, can I be the one to fulfill the mitzvah on behalf of someone else who was mekabel Shabbos? The Yesh Lomar, you can say, you can argue, Delozeh shelo kibel duhu chol etzlo, that for this son who was not yet mekabel Shabbos, for you it's chol, for you it's weekday, and therefore havi ke'enu mechuyev bedavar kahid Yerushalmi. Maybe you should be like an enu mechuyev bedavar, like the Yerushalmi says in our perek, that you cannot have a member of a different city laning on your behalf because they are not mechuyev right now. Oh, maybe you should say dehacha adif. Maybe you should say that the case of Tosefes Shabbos is fundamentally different. Why? What's the difference? What's the difference? Because it's very easy to just be mekabel Shabbos. To be yado lahavi atzma lidechi of lekabel alav Shabbos. Correct? A katan can't be mechayiv himself. A katan doesn't have a chiv to do mitzvahs. So as hard as he might want to try, as much as he might want to volunteer, he's not mechayiv. But over here, you say, I'm an enu mechayiv bedavar, and therefore I'm precluded from being able to help somebody else. But maybe I am very close to a mechayiv bedavar, because it would be very simple for me to just be mekabel Shabbos.
But he wants to drive.
So he wants to drive. So practically, I wasn't mekabel Shabbos because I want to drive. But I could be mekabel Shabbos if I wanted to. So what's the status? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, Tzarchi in the Dina. I'm not sure. He says maybe the case. What?
What's the status determined? The fact that he, at the time that he said he could have made Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he chose not to. He knows, but it's not retroactive. The fact that he went into the car.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it necessarily retroactive? Is it the time that you're saying the Kiddush?
So that's the question. How do we look at it? Do we say, well, since you had the ability, had you really wanted to, you could have parked your car there, been mekabel Shabbos, and walked home? Or do you say, no, practically, the bottom line is you weren't mekabel Shabbos. Just like practically, the bottom line is, it's not Purim for you today. You didn't move to the other city. So are those the same, or are they a little bit different? So Rabbi Kiva Eger is not sure. Rabbi Kiva Eger actually has the suffix. Yeah? That what? He's saying explicitly that he doesn't want to be mekabel Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
That's the crux of the issue, yeah? Because when you say that somebody is an eino mechuyev bedavar and therefore he's out of the picture, That normally means you have somebody who's a Nachri, you have somebody who's a Katan, somebody who's a Shota. Ain't a Mechuyev Darbi, you're totally out of the Parsha. There's nothing to talk about. But over here, there is something to talk about. If I would do something very simple, if I would just say, Harei Mekabel Kedusha Seyam Shel Shabbos, it would be Shabbos for me. And I would be Mechuyev. So you can't say I'm out of the ballpark, you can't say I'm totally irrelevant to this discussion of Kiddush. I myself, let's say next week I get home early from work, I decide I want to be Mekabel Shabbos at that time, I would be able to be Mekabel Shabbos then and make Kiddush.
As long as he's holding himself back and not accept Shabbos, then yeah, he's out of the ballpark.
That's the question. Is he really out of the ballpark? Is he really out?
That's his choice. I don't see why not.
So he has his Dino like a Nachri. That's what you're saying. That's the question. Is that really a true parallelism? Is that true?
Isn't this similar to a situation where a woman lights candles, Amnas, Lola Kabo Shabbos, and then drives to Shul, and then all of a sudden her candle lighting is retroactively before Shabbos?
What do you mean? You lit candles before Shabbos. What's the problem?
Right, so you're making Kiddush before Shabbos here.
But Kiddush is not supposed to be made before Shabbos. Candles are supposed to be lit before Shabbos.
Right, but once candles are lit, you're not supposed to do anything.
You're not supposed to. Officially, without the natural state is, when the candles are lit, a woman is normally Mekabel Shabbos. If she says explicitly, I don't want to be Mekabel Shabbos, then she's not. So he draws a parallel, or perhaps a distinction, from the case that the Gemara brings in Maseches Brachos. You have that where he says, Brachos Mem Chesem Abeis? Where are we? Everybody has that? Degam Mishalo, fourth line. Degam Mishalo Achal Pas. Yachalo Hotzi Acher Midecha Vasa Mibircha Samazan. Let's say the following case. I live in a community where nobody knows how to bench. Most people don't know how to bench. They're illiterate. Benching is too difficult. It's too long. We don't know all the words. So we also down to eat bread. So what do? We have somebody else who comes and he's motzi us in the benching and he says all the words out loud and we all pay attention and we answer Amen and that's the way we yotzi the bracha. Problem is, not always is that other person going to want to participate in the meal. Just because I'm having a sandwich today, maybe he doesn't want to wash. So what do I do that day? I sat down to have a deli sandwich. He decides, I'm not interested in the sandwich, I don't want to wash. But now I need him to bench for me. Is he able to bench on my behalf when he's not mechuyev to bench? Well, you could say, well, is he like a nachri? Is he out of the ballpark just because he didn't wash? Maybe. Or do you say, well, it's very easy for him to go and wash and have a sandwich also together with me, so therefore we can say, maybe he's like a mechuyev bedaver, maybe a little bit, quasi-mechuyev bedaver, and that's good enough for him to be able to perform the mitzvah on my behalf. Says the Gemara. Someone who, again, where were we up to? Someone who, lo achal pas, someone who didn't eat bread, is still yachal lehotzi achayim ridecha basa mebirchas hamazon. Someone who didn't eat bread is able to recite the birchas hamazon on behalf of somebody who did eat bread. Afal pisha b'pol in a mechuyev. What do you mean? But right now, you're not mechuyev to bench. So how do you explain that? Val kain, val karchach, dekivan shebiyadu lechol paz ulischai b'berchas hamazon. It's clear that you see from there that since I have the ability to be mechayev myself, since I have the ability to put myself in a position where I would be obligated, havi b'chlal arvus. V'hu adin b'mah shebiyadu lekabel Shabbos. Maybe I should say, that's the same as somebody who has the ability to be Mekabel Shabbos, and therefore I should be able to recite Kiddush for this woman in the hospital. Ach b'yemes, he says, maybe there's room to argue between the two cases, and you have to really figure out all these cases and see, are they all the same? Or perhaps there's room to distinguish between all of them. In the end, I see it's getting late. In the end, he writes, skip down to the bottom. Bottom, one second. Let's see. Mikol Makom. Six lines from the end. Mikol Makom, everybody has it? Last word on the line. Mikol Makom. Still he writes, Nira, it seems to me, Di'esh Lahachmer Bazet. Yeah, you can argue maybe the merits should allow the person to be able to say the bracha on behalf of the mother, say Kiddush, or maybe not. He says, Mikol Makom, in the end of the day, Nira, Di'esh Lahachmer Bazet, Uluhi Malei Mechashash Bracha Levatel. He says, your borderline of bracha levatel, you have to be careful. Shahar be'echmir b'zeh aposkim, u'befrat benidu didan shi'esh l'estapekot, he says, another consideration that we have to think about is, an imo b'chlal chiyuv kiddush hayom. If the woman has the onset of dementia, and she might not be fully aware of the fact that today is Shabbos, so she might not be mechuyev to make Kiddush at all. So you have a double suffix here. Number one, who said you have a right to? That was Rabbi Akiva Eiger's suffix. Number two, who said she's mechuyev at all? So the whole permissibility that you have to make a bracha on behalf of somebody else is only if they're mechuyev in the bracha. And certainly men and women share the chiyuv of Kiddush on Friday night because Zachar v'Shama Dibracha Nemru, women are mechuyev in Kiddush just like men are mechuyev in Kiddush. But over here you have a person who might be begeder reshota, unfortunately. Here you have a person who might not be mechuyev in the midst of Kiddush. So how can you go ahead and perhaps violate the Yisr Bracha Levatela for somebody who, number one, might not even be chayiv at all. Number two, you might not be able to be motzi them at all. V'ha'im biyada lechavin latzeis. It's not clear that she understands the words or the concepts that you're mentioning. Whenever somebody is being yotzei the bracha with you, there has to be some sort of relationship between the two of you. V'yodi says, d'zeh pashut. Dirakim to kabel alea tosefes Shabbos. Shayach shateitze yidei chovas kiddush hayom. It's very nice, you want to be a good son and say Kiddush and give her a flavor of Shabbos because she's not going to have it without you. It's wonderful, it's great, so you should set the table and bring challahs and light candles and everything. But your mother was really mekabel Shabbos? What does it mean? She said lechadodi, she said Ms. Marshir. What did she do exactly to show that she was mekabel Shabbos? She was lying in a bed. And she's hardly able to talk. And she might not even understand. So it's not clear that she's a mechuyev bedavar, number one, because of her mental state. Number two, because it's not clear that she did anything actively to show that she was mekabel Shabbos. And number three, because who said you have the ability to do it on her behalf? And therefore he writes, Mishim kol zeh nira la'alacha, it seems to me, sheyimna lekadesh b'shvila bebracha, however, ela yichabdena v'yisamchena v'chol derech acher. Obviously you should do whatever you can to show kavod to that mother, to that parent, and to do whatever you can to show her that you want to give her the flavor of Shabbos and the taste of Shabbos to the best of your ability. It's not always so easy, unfortunately, but it's something that he suggests is a very important thing. But to go and borderline violate an iser of, perhaps, a bracha levatela is something that one has to be very careful about and shouldn't come to a quick conclusion before thinking that through very carefully. So to me, I think all of this is a very important issue because it's relevant. It comes up every so often. And I think it's a fascinating Rashi in our daf, which all the Achronim seem to reject. All the Achronim, the Pri Chadash, and everyone else subsequently assumes that if you have all these cases of a Ben Eretz Yisrael who's in Chutz Laretz, or you have the Sviras HaOmer case where you have that dilemma, or you have the rabbi with the Erev Chatzeres in a community that's not his, or you have over here the person who's Mekadesh, and they want to do it for Tosefes and Hazman where they're not Mechuyev B'Devar, but somebody else is, all of those cases the Achronim seem to assume. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach also has arichas about this Tosefes Shabbos case with the Kiddush. All of those cases, the Achronim seem to assume with certainty that somebody who's not Mechuyev himself does not have the ability to be Motzi Acher Midei Chovasan either. And therefore, this is a very problematic Rashi in our daf. Where does Rashi get the idea that if you have a Ben Kfar who's visiting an Ir, or you have a Ben Ir who's visiting a Ben Kfar, that one of them can be Motzi Acher Midei Chovasan? After all, today is not the day you're Mechuyev. You have the ability to move your residence, you have the ability to pick up your whole family and move to another community. Yeah, but you didn't. But you didn't. And one has to think about, even though all this is true, why should that be different than the case that the Gemara clearly states about Berachas HaMazon? How come when I eat a sandwich, and I don't know how to bench, and someone else does not eat a sandwich, and does not wash, and is not mechuyev in Berachas HaMazon, why do they have the ability to be motzi me in Birchas HaMazon when we find in all these other cases that it would not work? Why should Birchas HaMazon be any different is a question that one really has to think about very carefully and try to come up with a distinction of why Birchas HaMazon might be different from all these other cases that we discussed. So,